I think TAM, I mean, honestly, okay, the other thing I look for in the business isn't any of those metrics, and I've said this before on the show, but it's leadership. Who is the CEO? How hard are they hustling? You know, who is that entrepreneur? Do they have what it takes to go all the way? Are they going to, you know, business is war. Are they the general you want to bet on? I think that's another big thing. Okay, AI. Ooh, also keep your question shorter than this. This was 2 minutes, so I'm letting it slide, but shorter questions are better if you want to get on the show. But I like, this was a good one. But AI is changing the game. I got to be honest, this is one of the biggest innovations I've seen ever since investing. And I think we haven't seen how it's going to affect things, but the corporate organism that is a company is going to get drastically changed by AI. You know, you need way less employees to do the same things. I think OpenAI, I use ChatGPT all the time, think it's an amazing product. I think it will disrupt Google. Google's in a really shaky position right now with X coming after YouTube video, OpenAI, Perplexity coming after search. Perplexity is a startup that Bezos invested in that's kind of like Google, that's been getting a lot of waves recently. So, I mean, I don't know how this AI shit's going to play out, but I think it has profound impacts on what a company is. I mean, people like Elon Musk are saying like the era of money and that kind of stuff is over. We just have prosperity because of AI, and it doesn't even, we shouldn't even be doing G2Amelie. Like, it's crazy. What I personally think is happening is we're at this crazy moment where companies and individuals who control technology get more powerful than governments. And that's very scary. And it's in uncharted waters, but that's where I think we're going. This, it's not even like the haves and have nots gap gets wider, but it's just like a few key people like Sam Altman, Elon Musk, the Google founders, Satya Nadella. These people have insane power, insane influence. And I think that grows exponentially in the era of AI. And I think you're going to see governments intertwine with companies in a way that we've never seen before because of AI. This is just going to get crazy. And maybe I'm like a Luddite that's like, oh my God, this is scary. Put the cat back in the bag. But I think this shit's scary, and I think we're going to a really weird future utopia where every job may become irrelevant. And to be honest, that's one reason why I'm doing G2Amelie and putting assets in Tesla. Maybe I should buy some Microsoft stock now that I say this, because those are the companies and assets that I feel like will benefit from AI taking off. Or will some startup using AI just figure out how to build a better, cheaper car with just AI robots, even though it seems like it would be Tesla to do that. But, you know, where does this AI arms race go? Where does the value accrue? Who is it, NVIDIA with the chips? Is it OpenAI with the model and the UI? Is it Tesla with the humanoids? I mean, fascinated to see how all that plays out. And we got a couple, I got to go to my sister's for dinner, but I want to do a couple more questions. Let's see what's good with this.
Hey, Gally, Jamie here. Been a fan of the show since early days. Had a great time investing in Tesla with you and going on that super exciting run there. I wanted to get your thoughts on Rivian and what it would take for Rivian to be, you know, somewhat like Tesla in terms of excitement. What's going to get you stoked on Rivian? What do they need to do? What are the top 3-5 things that you would like to see? Thanks.
Dude, love this question. Okay. Rivian, what do they need to do to excite me? Stock price needs to go down. Valuation needs to get cheaper. I need to see improved profit margins. That's just off top. I was in the Rivian store a couple days ago in U Village in Seattle. Baller. Love the vehicles. Love the brand. Love the vibes. Love the little touches to the product, like the flashlight in the door, the quality, the design. They're not copying Tesla. They're going for their own niche. I love that. I've been a Rivian, you know, hater but fan. I've toured the factory. I went to the launch party, which Rihanna was at in LA like 5 years ago. Like I've been following this so closely, and I've been extremely impressed at how Rivian has brought some shit to market that is a compelling electric vehicle that's different than Tesla. Huge props. Financially, they're losing way too much money. We might be able to see a turning point in the gross margin and cash burn in the next few quarters if they can get their volumes up. That's why I was so bummed that delivery numbers were weak. So if you can get the R1T, R1S to 70,000 units a year, delivery vans start taking off, R2 gets unveiled, profit margins go in the right direction, e-bike is launched, I think Rivian has huge potential. The other thing, flip side of this is, I love the Peter Thiel quote from 0 to 1, the next Mark Zuckerberg is not going to build a social network. why is everyone trying to find the next electric vehicle company when we know the next great electric vehicle company? Guess what? It's Tesla. Guess what? The one product they just launched, the Cybertruck, is going to provide more value than all of Rivian as a company. And that's just one of their products. So I'm kind of, here's how the Rivian bull case takes off. If the R2 is extremely successful and that crushes it, and it becomes sort of like this Subaru Jeep, you know, electric version of a Subaru or Jeep that's Rivian, that's 40 to 50 Gs with good range, good quality, you know, access to Tesla supercharging and Rivian's network, that could be the car that takes them to a $50 to $70 billion value. Right now, Rivian's trading for like $20 billion. So I think there's too much risk for not enough upside. And then you have the counterpoint of self-driving. I think longer term, the idea that humans won't drive is super important. And Rivian doesn't, to me, have a clear strategy like Tesla does to try and address that. They don't have Tesla bots. They don't have energy. So I think Rivian is a super interesting player. The price sales multiple is compressed here, $20 billion, $5 billion in sales. You're looking at, you know, 4x price sales. I love that. But the sales are super low margin, and they might have to dilute more to keep funding the company. So I think Rivian's getting a lot closer to my sweet, you know, when they IPO'd, I was like, price target's 420. I hate Rivian. Well, now the stock price is coming down to 18 bucks a share. The revenue is scaled from zero to 5 billion. The product is amazing. People love it. I see them on the roads. They're badass. The brand is becoming a number two to Tesla in the EV space, which I think is massive. I mean, I'm a lot more bullish and convinced on this as a potential investment than I was when they IPO'd. I'm still not ready to take that leap, but yeah. Anyway, I hope that answered your question, but those are the things I want to see. Increased deliveries and increased profit margins with mega hype and execution on the R2, then I think we got a huge company, and maybe I missed the upside because I'm too picky and I wait too long, so we'll see.
Hi, Gally. My name's Gary. I'm based in Plymouth in the UK. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. Love what you do, by the way. I love your energy, love your passion. I've learned a lot from you. I'm in my 50s. I've been investing in Tesla since 2014. So I put my entire net worth into Tesla around about 2014, and I've been dribbling it in ever since. So I understand what it's like to see volatility in a stock that you love, but I've done an awful lot of research into Tesla, and my conviction in the company is just building every day. The company gets stronger and stronger. One thing I'd like to say is I think it would be important for you to tell your listeners that it is important to put their investments, if they can, into some sort of tax-efficient wrapper, because if what you say is true, and I think it is true, that you build a snowball and you invest hard until it hurts, you could end up with a very big pile of money, but a big tax bill. So perhaps this is something that you might want to just talk to your audience about. Okay, Gally, thanks very much. Love what you're doing. Keep it up. Peace.
Gary, shout out, because you have the exact or similar accent to my friend Scott's dad, Graham. So shout out to Graham, legend. But interesting question here, and I feel like I already kind of answered it, which is if you can exploit a tax-free efficient vehicle and have a Roth IRA where you're not taxed till retirement or you have tax-free, go for it. Like, ask your person about that. That's not my move. I personally don't give a shit about that, because I think if you're playing, and this is what I say to people who like, ooh, I'm going to move to like Austin because the tax rate's better. It's like, bro, talk about a loser move. Like, do what you want to do, and then that'll out, don't let the tail wag the dog. And so, yes, I'm going to have to, every time I sell stock, 30% of the profit goes to the US government. That's just the way it works. And I'm calculating that in, and I got to deal with that. And if I could put it all in an account where I don't get taxed after I'm 59 and a half, like a Roth IRA, I think that's a move that a lot of people should do. But yeah, I mean, I'm not personally doing it here because I want to cash out of my G2 a milli way before 59 and a half and have more freedom. So I'm just going to bite the bullet on taxes. But if I do go G2 a milli and then I start taking money out of my account and start selling my Tesla when it's way up, I got a big tax bill to pay. And that's important to keep in mind. So, yeah. Don't be like, go from a G to a milli. This is the real lesson here. Don't go from a G to a milli and then be like, oh, well, I have like, you know, $1 million, so I'm going to buy $1 million house. It's like, no, 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 buy a $700,000 house because you're going to have to pay 30% in taxes. And if you just keep that in mind or remember that and keep that in your calculation, that'll keep you safe. Just remember that you have a tax liability and got to pay, you know, 30 to 40% of your profits, you know, set that aside for taxes. And that sucks, but it is what it is. Two more questions. I'm doing them all. Let's go.
Hey, what's up, Gally? I've been following you since 2019 when I started buying Tesla. I feel like we made it through our generations.com bubble. And I feel good that we're still came out of the other side and maybe a little more humble and wiser. But anyway, I still have most of my Tesla. I sold a good chunk of it, put it into Microsoft because I think Microsoft is, it's hard to argue with the amount of GPUs they're buying. And I think they're building a brain on a massive scale. And I think they and OpenAI are winning the race to building our successor species. So anyway, I wanted to ask you about Coinbase and crypto in general. I have been on the sidelines for crypto for years, and I've always found it interesting. I just don't understand it well enough to invest, just like you've talked about with Lemonade. And I just want, like, if its thesis is to become a global currency, how come I have never once seen somebody buy a meal or pay rent with Bitcoin? It just seems super difficult and impractical to use as a daily currency. It feels like a stupid question. Maybe I'm missing something. But, you know, I mean, yeah, I'd love to hear your answer to that specifically, but also would love to just have, like, if you feel up for it, making some deep dive videos about Coinbase and crypto, because I think, like I said, I think they're both super interesting. I just don't get it enough. So anyway, thanks for all you do. Would love to hear your thoughts. Have a good one.
Okay, this is super interesting. I think important to not buy what you, like, know what you don't know. If you don't know crypto, then stay away from it, you know, or that's what I would do. I think you don't buy what you don't know. And the store of value thing. So I've never seen anybody use crypto for a payment. So I think we live in the United States. So we have the least inflation and we have the most robust infrastructure for, like, dollars. It's the main currency. So I think that the value for Bitcoin right now, if you're really transacting and storing value, it's in all these third world countries where inflation's off the charts. You're going to see a lot more Bitcoin adoption for payments and that kind of stuff. So I think that's one thing. B, I think Bitcoin and crypto payments is just one layer. We're like three levels above and before that right now, which is store of value, wealth. So it's not used for everyday transactions, but literally to store value, the economic energy you create, how do you store it? Bitcoin and crypto is a way to store that. And so I think that's like digital gold, you know, and that's why I think that's what my piece is, why I started this episode, is I don't know if Bitcoin or crypto will be used for all payments, but I think it will, but I think it could. I just think the dollar is working great right now, but it could if the dollar destabilizes or we're on Mars or whatever. But beyond that, I just think this idea of store of value, my dollars are a melting ice cube that's melting faster and faster. Bitcoin is not. And it does have this crowd sort of game theory of more and more people have to get involved. So it is kind of like sketchy that way. But I see humans' trust in code and an algorithm and a mathematical equation backed by energy, which is really what backs the Bitcoin network, is the energy you need to hack it, the hash rate. I love that. But I think but also it's like, you know, people ask me all the time, it's like, yeah, explain crypto, explain Bitcoin or whatever. And it's like, honestly, like, if I start explaining it, you're going to think I'm rambling, and it's just, maybe I don't understand it, which is why I can't put it simply. Like, if I try to put it simply right now, it's like, well, it's a system, you know, Bitcoin is just a ledger. It's a system. Bitcoin is like an Excel spreadsheet of who has what, but the reason why that Excel spreadsheet has value and why we're all buying into it is because that Excel spreadsheet is backed by energy. And everyone around the world has all these little servers that are making sure that spreadsheet's exactly right. And when you buy a little bit of into that spreadsheet, they're going to make sure that you're the one who bought it and it's exactly as much as you said you were going to buy, and that's how much hit your account. So it's this, what you're buying Bitcoin in, and the whole idea of it is trust in a new system. And so that's backed by energy. You know, Bitcoin can get hacked and so can any crypto as long as you own 51% or whatever, control it. But it's harder and harder every day to get 51% potential to take over the Bitcoin network because the energy consumption of all these servers keeps going up. So you have to get 51% of this ever increasing massive energy. You couldn't even, but it's all decentralized. So that's where the value lies. But I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I work so hard for economic value, and so do we all, and economic energy, and a lot of us could store it in dollars or ownership in companies, that's stocks. Or is there a new mathematical equation backed by energy where we could store economic value that's a lot simpler for everyone? And that's the promise of Bitcoin. But I think a lot of, even though Bitcoin's $800 billion, it's still an $800 billion experiment. And that's what I love about when I first heard about it was like, this is the most successful experiment in the history of economics. Bitcoin. Like, you put this little thing out, now it's doing billions, almost $1 trillion in value. It's created all these copycat coins piggybacking on its technology that are also worth hundreds of, you know, it's like the most wildly successful economic experiment of all time. I saw Bitcoin, and the first time I got introduced to it was, shout out to my professor Lawrence Lenihan at NYU, one of the only classes I fucked with at NYU, and we had Charlie Shrem as the guest speaker and Alexis Ohanian. That's right. These guys are legends. They were the guest speakers, like, in front of me, IRL, in my class. And Bitcoin was at $30, hitting the all-time high of $30 in that class. And I remember being like, holy shit. I didn't end up buying any to like 300 and then 500. But now Bitcoin's at 40,000. You know, the news is like, Bitcoin had a bad day. It's only 27,000. And I'm there like, bro, the first time people told me about this, shit was at 30. Like, it's hard to even know assets gone from 30 to 26,000. So I've been tracking it. And so, but, you know, not just because it has gone up is why it's good, but it's like, you know, at the end of the day, we're just students of the market. And all you can do is just watch the stock market, which is one of the most efficient weights and ways to allocate capital in the history of our civilization, and just appreciate it and say, I will not understand it, but it's right. And so when I look at Bitcoin and I see $800 billion and I see all these people using it, I'm like, oh my God, like, if I say Bitcoin's dumb, I'm an idiot because I'm ignoring this thing that's worth almost $1 trillion, a value that I will never create my whole life. So studying it, understanding it, just trying to wrap your head around what this is, why are people with dollars buying this code, is interesting to me. I just think it's so fascinating. And so, and then, you know, why am I bullish on it? Why is 50% of my G to a million crypto? Because I just think the U.S., my trust in the U.S. dollar, which governs the world economic system, is declining. And I think people would rather trust an algorithm that we can all open source and verify backed by energy than our government. And Bitcoin doesn't have a military. That's the one thing it doesn't have going for it. But other than that, I see a future techno-utopia, you know, I think, was it your question that you just said, like, OpenAI and Microsoft are creating the next version of human? I think that next version of human is going to use crypto and a systematic equation they can understand, not a currency that's backed by, or, you know, where interest rates are decided by this thing called the Federal Reserve, where it's just some white dudes in a room deciding what the number should be. Is that really the system where we're trusting all our value we earned our whole lifetime, or is it Bitcoin? Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked, but this is a fascinating debate. I'm gonna get back into it. I'm gonna be thinking about this question. So I really like that. Okay, I think I have one more, and I'm just gonna do it, and then we've got all the questions. This is huge.
Gally, what is up? Tom from New York here, longtime listener, first time caller. First of all, I want to thank you for introducing me to Tesla as an investment back in 2019. It really helped me make some smart decisions. Now, my question for you is, can you give some examples of how do you compound your growth here with this portfolio? I understand the investing part, but I'm not so sure on the compounding part. So maybe if you could, you know, kind of explain maybe a little strategy for that, I'd appreciate it. So yeah, thank you so much for everything. Love you, buddy.
Okay, great question here. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to understand like what this question really is. It's like, shout out for the question though. But I think investing to me is compounding. It's the idea of you make money, dollars are melting. You want to put your money into something that's going to grow or retain its value. And then as that thing kind of grows, you're compounding your gains on that thing and they just keep getting bigger. And if it keeps growing, keeps growing, keeps growing. And it's just this idea that, you know, 1 times 7% gains is going to be a $1.07. But then the next year, 7% on that is going to give me like, you know, an additional 7.2 cents or whatever. And so compounding, I don't know how to answer this question. I mean, compounding is the idea that your money works for you and that at a certain point, like you just keep adding up these percentage gains every year. And that's how you build massive wealth, is investing in things where the value compounds. You know, every time Tesla gets money for a new factory, they don't just pay it out. They reinvest it into an even bigger factory, into an even better product, into an even thing that makes even more money. And then that little thing that you invested in compounds, and little by little grow, you know, compound is just a word for like growth over time, layering onto itself. And so you want to lean into things where growth layers on itself over time and value starts to snowball into this massive thing. I don't know if that helped, but that is what it is. Okay. Anyway, this wraps up my episode. Longest episode so far. I had a blast doing it. Also, shout out to my pickleback that I was drinking. I don't know if that made this less or more fun for y'all, but let me know in the comments. And Public, shout out to them. If y'all want to join, roll your snowball with me. Public.com/hyperchange, 25 new bucks or 25 bucks that you get in a slice of stock if you sign up using my code, and then I get 50 bucks that I'm going to put into my portfolio and start compounding. So support the show if you want to do that. Let's take a look here. We're at 2719 as the value. Can't wait to see where we're at next time. Let me know if you have ideas for stocks, for anything, for questions. Keep it coming. I'm loving all the questions. Email me if you have a question and want to get on the show. If you have a question and want to get on the show, I literally just answered every single question, like 10, 12, whatever. I don't know how many it was. I caught up on them all. So if you have a question right now, I'm still answering all of them, I guess. Email me an audio recording to hyperchangetv@gmail.com, hyperchangetv@gmail.com. Audio recording, like so many of y'all are doing, or if you're my homie, you can text me and I'll use it, but that's anyway. And you'll get featured on the show. Like, I love building this community. I love hearing from y'all. It helps me scheme a lot when I get these like ideas and little things to riff on. So you're doing me a huge favor. And I make my show by myself in my house, and I'm a social person and I love people and just interacting. And it makes me feel better when I hear your voice on the phone and you're like, yo, what's up, Gally? How you doing? So this is my thing I'm scheming on. Like, I love that. And it makes me feel like we're building like a community. So I appreciate that. And I think it's hella fun. And this is Hyperchange G to a milli. We're at 2.78 G's. We're booming, y'all. We're booming. Hopefully we'll catch up to S&P 500 and slash as much as I originally invested. That would be nice next time. But see you next time. This is Hyperchange. Actually, I hope I'd not. I hope all my stocks crumble by the next episode so that I can buy them cheaper. Almost messed up there. Anyway, see y'all next time.